Well, it's been a great morning so far, and I praise the Lord for you being here today. After last week's message, I had a lady come up and ask me, why does the Bible not hold women in high esteem and high regard? She said, even in the Old and New Testament, both. And then she said, well, how does God feel about women in position of power, like politicians and CEOs? Well, these were not difficult questions for me to answer. I understand the question comes from a bias that we all just do not agree on. It's what, like any issue. A person can choose to believe what the Bible says, or they can, you know, just go off onto the internet and find a whole lot of other people's opinions and a plethora of excuses, rationales, theologies, and everything that's available to us, and kind of let them make up our mind. And personally, I have no axe to grind, and I also have no halo to shine on the topic. I just come to preach the Word of God. I just come to share with you what God says. I didn't write the Bible, but I am called upon to preach it faithfully, truthfully, teach what it says. My answer to her and to anyone else asking that question is this: the Bible does not have a low regard for women in either the Old or the New Testament. They have never been powerless when God's people are following His Word. Now, a woman's role is different. So, with that, her power and the way she uses it is different. Just like we talked about last week, the role of the woman is just different than the role of the man. If you need a refresher, just go back on our webpage and watch that message from last week about the role of the woman. But we're going to see in our text this morning in Proverbs chapter 31 that a woman is anything but powerless. And we're going to see that she is highly esteemed in the eyes of God, and therefore she should be highly esteemed in the eyes of all. Our text will be from Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10, and I have some other passages of scripture out of that text, out of 31, but let me just read verse 10 for you. It says, an excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. God's opinion of the woman is excellent. He says she's excellent, highly valued, more precious than jewels. Television's come a long way since I was a little kid. When I was young, we watched reruns of sitcoms like Ozzie and Harriet. All those Ozzie and Harriet fans. Yeah, we know that show. And Leave It to Beaver. We watched that one as a rerun. I'm not that old, but it was a rerun when I watched it. Father Knows Best. Golly, yeah, we know that one. These were shows that led you to believe that a woman vacuumed in the house wearing pearls, beautiful dress. Remember, I was like amazed at that. She's got this pretty dress on. She never gets upset. Dad went to work. Mom stayed at home. And the kids had to wait till father gets home, and then they get theirs. Then later in my time, we had the Brady Bunch. We had later in my time, Happy Days. Now, still, the gender roles were pretty clear. The parents were pretty much in charge of the home. Of course, they didn't know what the kids did when they left the house, but in the home, they were left in charge. Now we have this genre of family shows that I can't even stand to watch. Now, I don't even like their commercials. I'm talking about shows like The Simpsons, Bob's Burgers, The Family Guy. Now, none of you raised your hand on any of them. Good. You don't need to watch them. These shows are trying to make us think that it's Father Knows Less. That would be a good show to air today. Or Leave It to Bozo, you know. There's a huge gap between Ozzie and Harriet and Homer and Marge. And it's confusing. It's confusing us. It's a difficult time for the family. I would never want to be a kid again, not living in this culture today. We didn't go through a tenth of what they're having to deal with on a daily basis. And I would never want to be face the pressures of a woman's world today. I mean, they have so many things that are so far out of reach. I mean, supermodels who starve themselves and say, this is how you ought to look. And they have movie stars who have makeup artists around them all the time and telling you this is how you're supposed to look. Professional business women who make you feel like you made the wrong choice by raising children in the home and teaching them the things of God. Those who balance a career and home and even have time to volunteer outside the home make you feel like giving up when you see their lives. I'm going to tell you this. Later, you're going to find out it wasn't all what they made it out to be. It was a lot harder. It didn't all come out all perfect. But there are always those that remind you where you fall short. But the Bible is full of words of encouragement which give value to women. God valued women. The world may put you down, but God lifts you up. The world may expect the impossible, but God comes to you in grace and a heart of acceptance. You are important to God, ladies, in many ways. I'm going to give you three specific areas in which you are special. A woman has a special place in the heart of God and in the plan of God. The first thing that I want to emphasize today is that a woman's place is in the home. I'm waiting for the tomatoes and lettuce. Now, don't go crazy on me. I tell you what, it's not what you think, because actually a man's place is in the home. Ladies and men, moms, dads, your place is in the home. Home is where you are nurtured, where you are loved, where you are encouraged. That doesn't mean that a woman's only place is in the home. We're going to see later that there's other places for them. But just like the men, the best place for mom and dad, for women, for men, is in the home. Women are so busy today, and they have so many things to do, but I tell you what, God has gifted women differently than he has gifted men. Guys, we can't nurture like they can. Well, there's a lot of things that they can do we can't do. God has given you that ability, that gift in the home, because that is a most important place. It's where you build abiding relationships. And God is all about relationships. Having a relationship with God is what it means to be a Christian. Having a relationship with other people is what it means to be human. And it's in the home where we learn to live with other people in important ways. We learn to forgive people when they have done you wrong. We learn in the home to extend grace to those who are difficult. We learn not to set unrealistic expectations on other people in the home. We learn that love is more than a feeling. It's a deep and abiding commitment that you have with one another. So yes, I do say boldly, a woman's place is in the home, because in the home, she is to be the recipient of divine gifts expressed through the other family members. She is to be shown appreciation in the home. She is to be told how valuable she is by her husband and by her children in the home. I know that I can't imagine what I would be like if it were not for my wife helping me all through these years. Being by my side, being there to encourage, being there to take my place sometimes when I just couldn't be there. I tell you what, I'd be so unmannered. My English is bad, but she has improved it 1,000 times. I seen it when I should have saw it, you know, and she'll correct me on those things. I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for this woman down here in the front. She has been such a blessing to me. She makes my life enjoyable. And I hope that's the same with all of you, that she brings quality into your life. I'll tell you, I'm a different person because I married Pauline Howard. Every year I appreciate her more. Every year I realize I should have listened to her a lot more. Her place is in the home. Now, she works outside of the home for a few more days. She's retiring, yeah. But the best place for her and all the other women, especially moms, is in the home, because it is there that I'm at my best with her. Home is where ministry is. We minister to each other. We minister to our children. We brought up our children in the love and admonition of the Lord. I said, we. She did. She taught the children the word of God. I was out doing things. I wished I were home. She trained them in the word. She trained them by example. Those who believe that only what happens outside the home is important has missed God's greatest calling, as we both men and women are to be ministers in our home. We bind up emotional hurts. We lift sagging spirits. We allow people to be themselves. We show kindness when the world has beaten them up. We give smiles. We give hugs. We listen. We try to understand. In our home, we had a plaque, and I just found out she got rid of it. I love this plaque. It was so much us, but I guess it had orange in it, and she doesn't like orange, so she got rid of it. But here's what it said. In this house, we do second chances. We do real. We do grace. We do mistakes. We do I'm sorry. We do loud very well. We do hugs. We do family. We do love. Well, that plaque just tells you the ministry of the home. So, yes, a woman's place is in many places, but her most important place is in the home. The second place I'd like to emphasize is a woman's place is in the world. That's number two. The woman's place is in the world. Proverbs 31 goes on to describe and to praise a woman who is truly a woman of the world. Not worldly, but a woman who is out in the world doing things in the world. She has her own business. She takes her place in the market here in Proverbs 31. She is dealing with real estate issues in chapter 31. Look at verse 16. He says, she considers a field, she buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. Down in verses 18 and 19, she perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hand to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and she sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Here's a woman that is helping her community. She's got this business going. She's buying and selling land. She's building vineyards. She's making clothing. Verse 20, next page. She opens her hand to the poor. She reaches her hand to the needy. Here's one that helps the needy. She's providing for her family. She's providing for her community. Verse 21 even says she's not afraid of snow for her household. You know why? Because she's got everything her household is going to need. She's clothed them in scarlet. She's made bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. This woman covers everything, all the bases. The Bible ends this section describing the activity by saying in verse 30 and 31, charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Now, you would have to live in this time period to understand the impact of what has just been read to you. Because in this time, all the area surrounding cultures, they did not give women a place of dignity and honor as the Hebrews did. From the beginning of time, God held women in high esteem. In fact, the whole point of the story of Adam and Eve in the garden is that man by himself was not enough in the world. Even God looked at man in the garden and said, "It is not good for man to be alone." The man needed someone, not just someone to do the work for him, not just someone who meet the needs, but a full partner who will strive side by side with him. And in all of creation, God said, "It is good." He made the ground, it said, "It is good." He made the grasses and trees, he said, "It's good." The animals, good. The birds, good. But when he saw man without his wife, he said, "It is not good." So he made the woman. Can you imagine a world without women? Oh, we don't even want to go there. Could you imagine that? I hope you see it in this chapter, the worth, the value of a woman. I know. You say, "Well, I don't see many women doing these things." Well, maybe not specifically, but they do a lot more than you imagine. I've come up with a new television reality show. ABC, I know they watch our stream. They watch us live stream all the time. So I want them to know I get credit for this. It's just like the show Survivor. We're going to take four dads, and we're going to put them on a deserted island. There's four homes on that island, and they bring their kids with them. Now, throughout the week, the kids all go to school. They all have extracurricular activities, and the dad is responsible for cooking, for cleaning, for getting the kids to school, picking them up from school, making sure that they get to their sports event, their track and field, whatever it is. You know, Survivor has little minuscule things like snakes and spiders and gators and wild animals. This is going to be where dad is left alone with his children for weeks on end. And at the end of the week, the children get to vote their daddy off the island so they can go back home to mama. I think that'll sell. I really do. Listen, man needs woman. God is the one who said it because he knows what we needed. God saw that we needed a helpmeet, someone that would be side by side with us. But women are not able to live up to their full value if they're treated like mere servants instead of full partners. Now, I read this statistic and I found it so overwhelming. United Nations did this study. They said women constitute over 50% of the world's population, and women are major players in keeping the world going, but they get less than their share of the compensation. MSN reported a survey by salary.com. They said they surveyed 15.5 million stay-at-home moms to list their job titles, what they do in a typical week. And based on a 40-hour work week, they came up with a salary for moms. They deserved $43,461 a year for a 40-hour work week. Then they came back and said, and the extra 60 hours of overtime that they put in every week, mom should receive an additional $88,009, making the grand total $134,371 a year. Worth every penny for what they do. But moms don't get that, do they? And they keep going? Because they're not doing it for monetary reward. They're doing it out of love for their children, for their family, for their home. They're doing it out of satisfaction of being responsible in their home. Well, the third place a woman is needed, her place is in the church. We all know the church couldn't exist without the women. They do so much. You look at our committees, and every one of them have women. A lot of them are chairmen of the committees. Their work in the church is of the utmost importance. But the greatest reason their place is in the church is because, ladies, you are an example to your family. You're an example to younger ladies. One of the things I wanted us to see is ladies teaching ladies the way the Word of God tells us to be an encouragement, teaching younger, older women, teaching younger women how to serve the Lord in the church. You are a testimony to the younger women of how they are to live. And your attendance week by week shows what is important in your life. One thing's for sure. Whatever way in which we choose to serve, there is eternal value in the eyes of God. Several verses speak in our text of a woman's testimony at the gate. Now, whether that's the gate of the city, the gate of the temple, she has a good and godly reputation. Look back with me at verse 25. Beginning at verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. In other words, she's not afraid of the future. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. We are called by the Word of God, we are called to congratulate, to celebrate the worth, the value of the women. Children, husbands that are here today, you are to publicly praise your wives and mothers. Our words of thankfulness can help the women in their life feel the worth that is theirs. Listen, I'm Exhibit A for the truth of what Proverbs 18:22 says. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. I experience the words of Proverbs 31:11-12 on a daily basis where it says her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Last week, after our message, I asked the husbands to take their wife by the hand and pray over them. Today, I'm going to ask you to do something else. I'm going to ask you to rise up with me in just a moment and bless your mom. Bless your wife. Children, husbands, even some of the moms are going to have to stand up, because if your mom is here, I want you to do this with me. Maybe she's in heaven looking down and you want to do this as well. But let's offer these words of encouragement. I want us to say together, you're blessed and you're the best. Do we have that up there? Yeah. You are blessed and you're the best. Let's stand together. If your mom or wife or is here or may listen even to the thing, let's say this together, shall we? You are blessed and you're the best. Let's do it again. You are blessed and you're the best. As we remain standing, let's thank God for the women in our lives. Thank God for the women in our church who faithfully do His will. May God bless all of our mothers here today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask You to bless all of our mothers, all the women that are in our lives. We thank You for them. They make this world a better place. God, I know that there are families here, people here today that have lost their mother, and it's a hard day for them. I pray that Your grace would be sufficient. I know that, Lord, sometimes mom hasn't been all that she should have been, and we have ill feelings. Help us to forgive, to put that away, to let that go. God, let us just remember how valuable these women are, not just to us, but to Your church and to this world. Bless and minister to these families today. Let them have a wonderful, blessed day. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a time of invitation. During the singing, I'm going to invite you to come. Maybe you're here today and you want to join First Baptist Church. We'd love for you to do that. Maybe you're here and you want to know Jesus. We'd love to share how you can be saved today. Whatever your need may be, let's sing together and you come on this first stanza.